we coming through? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dr. Russell Blaylock, a good friend who's written several other books we carry. One, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which I came out about a year ago, a wonderful, wonderful book that every one of you should have. And then lastly, his most recent book on natural remedies. What's the title, Russell?
Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients.
Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. And it's just an overview of cancer and a great deal about cancer. And we've had a tremendous response to that. We've got a case of them coming. Have a hard time getting them out of the publisher. But they promised me that the books are in the mail. So we'll have it before long for those who've ordered it. And for those who haven't, well, I'm sure you'll want to get the book on the natural strategies. So what have you learned? Because I know you do a great deal of research before you write a book. Are we being told the truth about cancer, its cause, what we can do to avoid it, and then, of course, what we should be doing once we do come down with cancer?
Well, this has been one of the benefits of all the money we spent on cancer research, is not in curing cancer or doing anything that makes a dramatic advance towards that goal, but primarily what we've done is learned a lot about the cancer process, what causes cells to become cancerous, how cancer cells differ from normal cells, and in the process of doing that, what they've discovered is that there's key enzymes that have to be activated in cancer cells. There has to be a certain pattern of genetic damage that occurs that's very particular, cannot vary a whole lot. And this is why it takes so long for cancer to finally develop, because this exact pattern has to be established. And in the course of all this, what we've also learned is that nutrition plays a major role not only in cancer prevention, but also in cancer treatment. And because we understand the cancer process so much better now, we now understand why a diet high in fruits and vegetables and avoiding other types of foods has always been associated with a very low cancer incidence. And we're learning that you can use various components of foods to actually inhibit the growth of cancer cells, increase the death of cancer cells, and most remarkably, you can do it selectively, which means that you can kill the cancer cell, and it does not only does not harm the normal cells, but it actually strengthens and makes the normal cells even healthier and less likely that they'll ever become cancerous.
Yeah, I think one of the most amazing things that I've learned is the fact that there are certain specific foods that you can eat that will protect you against specific types of cancers, and there are certain foods that you eat which will predispose you to cancers, and we're going to be talking about these things that I never hear discussed at medical meetings, and when you were practicing, you never heard them discussed either, did you, Russell?
That's correct.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. It's going to be a fascinating program, so and these are things that you need to know to preserve your health and the health of the loved ones. So hang on, we'll be back here in just a moment to talk about natural strategies to dealing with cancer by Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock. He's been a neurosurgeon for many years back in Jackson, Mississippi. And in recent years, he's retired from that. He's taken to writing books. And come together with some great books. Now, one of them he wrote when he was still practicing, that was on aspartame and MSG. And if you are drinking a lot of these diet things or diet drinks, or let me point out that almost all of our medicines now, or almost all of our food and prepared foods, they sneak these excitotoxin into them, MSG, aspartame. Why, you need to know more about that. And you need to get Dr. Blaylock's book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, and the four tape set we have that goes with that. And then we have his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and we have a four tape set that goes with that called Life-Saving Secrets. But today we're going to be talking about natural strategies dealing with cancer. And Dr. Blaylock has been worked on this, and the book is just off the press. I think it's only been, what, about 2 or 3 months now?
In October it was released.
All right, fine. So it's not, it's just really, we must have got you on just as soon as it was released. And what you found and what you discovered as you go through the scientific literature is that there is a definite relationship between what you eat or what we eat and what we consume and the onset of certain specific types of cancer?
Exactly.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, basically what we know about the cancer process is that a certain set of genes have to be activated in the cell. When these certain patterns are activated, it usually takes anywhere from 6 to 50 of these genes to be turned on to initiate the cancer process. We call these oncogenes or cancer genes. And once these genes are activated or turned on, they start producing various changes inside of the cell, activating various enzymes, etc. And what happens basically is the cell becomes immortal. That is, if you leave it alone, it'll continue to divide forever and ever. Normal cells only divide for about 40 or 50 divisions and then they die. They don't keep dividing. And normal cells are controlled in their growth by the surrounding cells so that they don't overgrow. They stay in contact. Cancer cells don't do that. Cancer cells don't communicate with the other cells, so they just, like, it's anarchy. They just grow wild. And since they're immortal, they continue to consume the space, enter the blood vessels, disseminate all over the body. And this is what happens in the cancer process. We find that foods often can not only initiate that process, that's because certain foods increase free radical generation.
Hang on to that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment when we pull out our last station. Well, here we are back with Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's talking about how certain foods will stimulate free radical production. So you pick up that story.
Yeah, what happens is these, if you're consuming a lot of these foods, for instance, even with food additives like MSG and aspartame, recently we found that both of these products dramatically increase free radical generation in the body. When you eat certain types of fats, for instance, like corn oil and safflower oil, sunflower oil, these oils all promote the production of free radicals. And as you increase these free radicals, they bombard the DNA and they produce these changes that eventually turn on these cancer genes. So that's the connection between bad foods and the initiation of cancer. Now, other things can also damage the DNA, for instance, radiation or either from an atomic bomb, or like in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or it can be from just routine x-rays that you're taking in a hospital. This x-ray damage tends to accumulate, so if you're getting a lot of x-rays, or if you're doing them every year, that damage is accumulated in the DNA, and it turns on these particular set of patterns of DNA. Different toxic metals can do it, like mercury and aluminum and lead and fluoride. Fluoride is a promoter of this same change in the DNA that produces cancer.
Isn't that interesting that the government's so intent upon putting fluoride in our water, and yet this will actually turn on the genes that produce cancer?
Yeah, and normally what happens is when the free radicals are damaging the DNA, you have protective enzymes that repair a lot of that damage. But what happens with fluoride poisoning and some of the other metals is it damages the DNA repair enzymes so that you're no longer able to repair the DNA. And that means that you'll develop cancer much sooner. It'll take less of a toxin or exposure to these foods to produce cancer in you because you don't have the ability to repair it. So, you know, it has a double effect. It's not only damaging the DNA directly, but it prevents the repair of that DNA damage as well. So we know that there are many things, pesticides and herbicides and all these heavy metals, plus the poor diet. And the other thing we're learning is that these things tend to act together. They're synergistic. They're not just additive. So that in a normal environment that all of us live, we're exposed to pesticides and herbicides and various industrial chemicals and fluoride and lead, and then we eat poor diets. When you add all of that together, the synergistic aspect of that is it's greater than just the additive effect, then you get a very powerful stimulus for cancer production. So the people who are born with poor DNA repair to start with, or who are born with certain cancer genes, they're the ones that are most likely going to get the cancer the earliest. People who smoke, people who have chronic diseases, they tend to develop cancer at a much higher rate than everyone else. So we're learning that this free radical generation is an intimate and central player in the development of cancer. Anytime you develop any sort of inflammation, you produce a lot of free radicals. So we know that there's a strong correlation between chronic inflammatory disease and the development of cancer. One recent study that was very interesting looked at cancer patients and found overall 69% had had a chronic inflammatory disease from anywhere from 7 to 9 years before they eventually developed cancer. When they looked at the black population, black men developed cancer with chronic inflammatory disease 76% of the time. So we're finding that these chronic diseases play a big role in that you're eventually developing cancer.
Now, are some of these chronic diseases caused by mycoplasma or chlamydia, or what will produce this chronic inflammation?
Well, it can be anything. It could be, for instance, if you develop an autoimmune disease or arthritis or arteriosclerosis, or if you develop a chronic infection like mycoplasma, cytomegalovirus infections, or any chronic viral infection. Will produce a smoldering, constant inflammation in your body. It produces storms of free radicals, which damages the DNA and eventually will lead to the development of cancer. So what we're seeing is a very high correlation there between anything that increases inflammation and chronic free radical generation and the development of cancer.
Well, now, what about certain foods that tend to protect us, certain foods that actually tend to aggravate the situation? When we talked last, you said that excessive milk consumption in older men actually tends to promote cancer. What's the background of that?
Well, what they did is they were looking primarily at prostate cancer, and what they found is that people that consumed a lot of milk had about a 260% increase in the incidence of prostate cancer. And there was about a 460% increase in the aggressive form of prostate cancer. So this was quite shocking when they found that it was primarily the calcium in the milk that was doing it, but if you drank low-fat milk, you had a greater incidence than if you drank the whole milk, but both of them produced a dramatic increase in prostate cancer.
Well, now, do we have any idea what about milk products like cheese and cottage cheese? Would they be part of the same problem?
Yes, because they're all high in calcium. In addition, your cheeses are very high in glutamic acid, which is the same culprit in MSG. And so is your milk. Your milk, particularly if it's dried milk or if it's condensed milk or if it's fat-reduced milk, you have a higher glutamate content in it. So you not only have the calcium stimulating the prostate cancer, but you've got the glutamate, which is also dramatically increasing the free radical damage leading to the cancer of the prostate, as well as other organs as well.
Well, now, how much milk would you have to drink? Would it be a glass a day or three or four glasses a day? I mean, at what point would this become dangerous?
Well, it's dose-dependent. That means the more you drink, the worse you are. A glass a day would slightly increase your risk. Three glasses a day would dramatically increase your risk.
Well, you know, the most interesting thing is, Russell, we never hear this. All we hear about is got milk, and they've got the greatest commercials on television, the televisions for milk. And I have 10 medical meetings on a regular basis. I have never once heard that fact mentioned, and I know you wouldn't be putting it out on the air if you hadn't researched this and gone through the scientific papers. And yet the average American is never allowed to hear this sort of thing, and the doctors don't know, so they're not going to tell them.
In fact, the connection to milk to other diseases is even worse. There's a study that showed that people who consume the most milk have the greatest arteriosclerosis, particularly if they drink low-fat milk. There's a very strong connection to juvenile diabetes. In fact, that has been absolutely proven now, that children who drink cow's milk before age 2, if they're genetically predisposed to this disorder, will develop a very high incidence of juvenile diabetes. Now, despite that coming out in one of the most prestigious of the diabetes journals, it never hit the paper. There was not one word in any major media outlet to tell the people that if you want to prevent juvenile diabetes, number one, don't let your children drink cow's milk. Yet you have tens of thousands of children suffering horribly from juvenile diabetes, all this money spent on the care, and no one's telling these mothers that there's a simple explanation. We also know that MSG is a major trigger of juvenile diabetes. That's been shown numerous times. Certain viruses can trigger juvenile diabetes, but your number one culprit is milk.
Well, you know, of course, MSG, you find MSG in almost all ready-prepared foods.
Well, for instance, here we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. I looked at the Logan Farms turkey that they prepare, and it has MSG painted on it. So it's deep inside the tissues of the turkey. So here people are eating a turkey thinking this is a good, healthy thing to do, and Logan Farms has decided that they're going to soak it in MSG to increase the taste of the turkey.
And it does increase the taste, but it also stimulates the nervous system, and it leads to so many complications. It doesn't actually kill neurons?
It kills neurons, and it destroys the connections between the neurons. And in relationship to cancer, one of the newer findings that's been confirmed in numerous studies is that it causes dramatic aggressiveness in brain cancers, so that these cancers grow infinitely faster in the presence of glutamate. So here you have a cancer patient with a brain tumor who's eating foods that are soaked in MSG and adding numerous concentrations of MSG. It's making their brain tumors grow very fast and become incurable. But nobody's telling them that.
And the thing that really bothers me, Russell, is I don't think the doctors know it, do they?
They don't. They're completely unaware of this, even though if you, like me, you subscribe to the cancer journals and the cancer research journals, it's in there. I mean, it's in the literature, the scientific literature. It's that no one is transferring it from the literature to tell the public about it.
Now, there's certain foods that will actually tend to protect you from cancer, aren't there, as well?
Yeah, there's numerous foods that will protect you against cancer. And when they looked at large studies of people who ate the highest quality foods, they found dramatic reductions in cancer, 50%, 70% reduction in certain types of cancer. And this wasn't even designing it to be the maximum efficient diet. These were just people eating some of the foods that were very good for you. You know, we would probably have even greater reductions in cancer if people would avoid all of the bad foods and eat only the good foods and eat pure foods, avoid the herbicides and pesticides, etc. Then our results would be even better. But certain of these foods, particularly the cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and kale, it contains some very powerful chemicals called flavonoids. There's about 5,000 different flavonoids have been identified. These flavonoids are being found to have very, very powerful anti-cancer effects and can even reduce cancers that have already developed.
All right. Now, do they have to be raw, or can you actually cook these, broccoli and the cauliflower and the other things?
Yeah, some you can cook because flavonoids generally are heat resistant.
All right, well, we're going to have to take a break, and when we first get back, we're going to go at least a half hour. I'll ask you to hold your calls, and perhaps the second half hour we'll take calls, but please wait till I ask for them. So our guest today is Dr. Russell Blaylock. His book is National natural strategies for cancer, and we do carry the book. It's an inexpensive book, but it's a very, very important book. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Give us a call right now.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I've talked to you about in the past about the conference we were going to have this Saturday, and actually we've got them to make some more lunches available, so we can take a few more people. It sounds like we're well over 100 people, and this is a terrible weekend. As you know, it's 2 days after Thanksgiving, but Bill Sardi is going to be there. Joan Paris is going to be there talking about the U.S. Patriot Act. I'm going to be talking about why we're really in Iraq, and then I'm going to be talking about why the Supreme Court is taking God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and out of our schools. In fact, why throughout the world it seems that people are losing their faith in God, that the foundation for our society is disappearing. Well, I think that it's going to be a great program. Then we're going to have Brad Dacus there talking about Christian persecution. Dr. Klink is going to be talking about what's going on in the Christian church today. So if you'd like to come to our conference this Saturday, we have room for a few more people. And if you would just, you can't show up at the door, we have to know ahead of time who's going to be there, because we only have 10 more lunches available. And you're going to have to give us a call ahead of time and let us know if you're coming. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. So if you're going to come, you're going to have to reserve a place. And we hope that you'll be able to come. Bring a friend. Tell others about it. We'd like to get as many people out as we can. And as I say, I'm very, very pleased. It looks like well over 100 people now. But if you're interested in coming, I believe that this will be a conference that you'll never forget. It's going to start at 8:30 in the morning. It's going to go through to 5 in the evening. There's going to be a panel discussion. You'll have an opportunity to meet others who are concerned. That's here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay. And if you want any more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is under attack today, and you'll certainly want to hear all of the excellent speakers that we're going to have at the Radio Liberty Conference. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and of course somewhere in the east, while you're hearing this will be this evening, but it's still afternoon here in the Monterey Bay, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and Dr. Blaylock is talking about some of the medicines, pardon me, some of the food substances which actually tend to protect against the development of cancer. And he's talking about the flavonoids that are in cauliflower and in broccoli and in Brussels sprouts and certainly other food substances of that sort, which really do tend to cut down on the incidence. Is that all cancers? Is that certain specific cancers?
Well, it's pretty much all cancers. And it's the only known association of reducing cancer is the intake of these particular vegetables and fruits. And it's quite a powerful effect. And what's interesting is now we know scientifically why it does. It used to be when you ate your fruits and vegetables, we just noticed it was an observation, but we didn't really have any idea why. And, of course, the early science was always looking for a particular vitamin, vitamin C content or the beta-carotene content. But now with the flavonoid science becoming so enormous, we're learning that actually it's very complex chemicals that are interacting with enzymes that the cancer needs to grow. Also, the cell is equipped with a what we call a suicide gene. So if a cell becomes damaged too intensely by these free radicals, the suicide gene turns on and kills the cell before it can become a cancer. But what some cancers do is they will mutate suicide gene so that process can't take place, and that's why the cell becomes immortal. Well, we found that certain types of these flavonoids can reestablish that suicide gene so it starts working again and the cancer cells start killing themselves, which is the best of all worlds. Rather than having poison these cells with chemicals and such, the cell just automatically will kill itself. We call that process apoptosis. We also know that there are certain enzymes that are necessary, for instance, growth of prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, and ovarian cancer called aromatase. Well, we found that there are numerous of these flavonoids that dramatically suppress this enzyme that's critical for the growth of these cancers. And they're quite common, like quercetin you find in tea, you find in apples, onions, in very high concentrations. Apigenin, which you find in celery and parsley, is also very powerful in inhibiting that enzyme. Norenigan, which you find in grapefruit. So when you mix these vegetables in your diet and concentrate them, you get very powerful inhibition of these enzymes that the cancer absolutely has to have to grow. Well, that not only prevents it from growing, but we find that other effects prevents it from spreading, so that the cancer is less likely to spread. The results that we're getting in some of the early human studies are quite dramatic. We've always known that people, even with what was considered terminal cancer, with the cancers all over their body, occasionally you see miraculous cures, and no one really has an explanation until now. And what we look at, when we look at all these cases, the people are generally doing the same thing, and they're blenderizing their vegetables so they get the highest concentration of these flavonoids, and they're drinking a lot of this every day. They're avoiding the foods we know that promote cancer growth. And some of these people are undergoing dramatic cures where they're terminal within months of dying and suddenly all their cancers disappear. Well, now we have scientific explanation of why that's occurring. And that's because of these flavonoids and the carotenoids and the vitamins are all acting in concert to suppress the growth and development of those cancers, suppressing the cancer, and in many cases making it completely disappear. One of the really exciting new things we're finding with some of these extracts of plants is that it not only will kill cancer cells, but sometimes it'll make cancer cells revert back to normal cells, so you don't have to kill it, which is pretty exciting as well. And, of course, this has always been the dream of the cancer therapist, was some way to make cancer cells go back to being normal cells, and that's what this appears to be doing. The oils seem to make a lot of difference. We know that the commonly used oils in cooking, like peanut and safflower and corn oil, are significantly powerful suppressors of the immune system. They promote the growth of cancer and they promote the spread of cancer, yet most of our foods are saturated with these oils.
Oh, now, are there any of the oils that are beneficial or that would be safe to use?
Well, the best oil to use is extra virgin olive oil, which I've just discovered that there's very little extra virgin olive oil being sold. It's actually a mixture of hazelnut oil and extra virgin olive oil. True extra virgin olive oil is rather expensive.
Now, is that the green olive oil?
Yes.
And the yellow olive oil is really sort of a second best, really isn't that much good.
Well, it's a mixture of olive oil and like I say, hazelnut oil, so you're not getting the flavonoids and the concentration you need, and you're not getting the monounsaturated fats.
Hang on to that thought. We're just going to have to take a quick break here.
If there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the World War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention some of the other items we have here at Radio Liberty. One of them certainly are the Big Berkey and Berkey Life water filters. And this is a wonderful alternative to paying large sums of money for bottled water. The Big Berkey water filter is made of stainless steel. The pattern has been the same for 150 years. The water goes in the top, a couple of gallons, goes through ceramic filters packed with the activated carbon, and just comes out the bottom, and it takes out most of the bacteria, most of the herbicides and pesticides and the bad taste. It'll take out a lot of the chlorine, so you don't get that terrible chlorine taste, and it really does a great job of cleaning up the water. And now it won't take out the fluoride, but if you need to get fluoride out, there's special fluoride filters that you can get. We call them post filters. The Big Berkey is $239.95. It's certainly is available in every state but California and Iowa. And so you can get here in California, if you want, a Berkey Light, which is made of Lexan. So it's a clear, and you can actually look right in and see the water levels. The filters are even more efficient. We call them water purifiers, or the black Berkey water filters, and they do even a far better job of cleaning up the water, and they'll take out MTBE. They will not take out fluoride, at least after they've been used for a time. The difference is that you have to change the filters every 2 to 3 years with the Berkey Light, whereas the Big Berkey, you can clean them over and over again, and they'll last a lot longer. The Berkey Light, $199.95, both of them small sum for shipping, and with both of them, if you buy them through us, you get a free video or 4-tape set. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess this afternoon, is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're talking about the new strategies of dealing with these cancers, and these are things that in the medical literature, and I know Dr. Blaylock has done the literature searches. He does a tremendous job, and the information is there, and when you get the book, there'll be all the references there. So if you want to go to the medical literature and verify it, you can, but this is absolutely true. The tragedy is, it's just not getting out to the people. And you better understand this. There are things you can do to avoid getting cancer. And if you do have cancer, certainly to as an adjunct to the treatment of the cancer. And if you eat just right, why, you can certainly help to decrease the spread of the disease. Now, what about Laetrile? You know, we've heard about this for many years. This comes from the apricot pits. Is there any really medicinal value to that, or is there any scientific work that suggests that does have any beneficial effect?
Well, there were a few studies that indicated that it did suppress cancer growth and shrunk some classifications of tumors. Unfortunately, what you have here is you couldn't get funding for a decent study to see whether it was effective in a large number of cancer patients, particularly with tumors that were known to be sensitive to it. I've had friends who were renologists who treated cancer of the kidney, and they reported even their terminal patients significant improvement in pain, shrinkage of the tumor, and a prolonged survival. So there's bits and pieces of evidence out there indicating that it may hold some promise, but like so many of these things, the government spends more time trying to outlaw it than they do investigating it.
And I know that people I know who've taken the Laetrile treatment have obviously been put on the type of a diet that you're describing. So the question is it the Laetrile or is it the diet that's making them feel better?
Well, a lot of times what we see is synergism.
Right.
They get some effect from the Laetrile, which will slow the cancer growth rate, increase the spontaneous killing of the cancer cell. And then when you add the flavonoids in the diet to it, you get an even better effect. And this is the thing that we see with the nutritionists. Like I said, there's 5,000 flavonoids in plants that we eat. So all of them are doing something adding to this anti-cancer effect. They're attacking the cancer cell at every operation that it needs to keep alive. But it has no negative effects on normal cells. In fact, it's very protective of normal cells.
Well, you mentioned apples. Now, the old adage, the apple a day keeps the doctor away. My wife recently has just been giving us apples on a regular basis, sliced apples. Is this really beneficial for us?
Sure. In fact, there have been several studies on apples show that it has a fairly good anti-carcinogenic effect. And there's a chemical in apples called chlorogenic acid, which has been definitely proven to be anti-carcinogenic and certainly preventive of certain types of cancer. Of course, the apples vary. We know some apples have very little chlorogenic acid, some have a lot. The Macintosh has a lot of chlorogenic acid in it.
Well, what about the Granny Smith, the green apples?
They don't have near as much chlorogenic acid, but even so, it has other flavonoids in it that are cancer inhibitors as well.
And the Macintosh are the red apples that come out of Washington, aren't they?
Right.
All right.
Michigan grows a lot of Macintosh apples.
And now you mentioned onions. You mentioned tea. Is this a green tea? Is any tea going to be beneficial?
Well, what the results show, a lot of research has been done on green tea because it contains certain type of flavonoids called catechins and epicatechins. These have shown definite anti-cancer effect and inhibit the spread of cancer. When they looked at black tea, they found that it had additional things in it called theoflavins, which seem to be a little bit more powerful in some ways than the catechins in green tea. Now, green tea and black tea is the same tea. What they do is they take the green tea and they cook it until it turns black. But when it does, it releases the theoflavins. The best anti-cancer effect has been found when you mix green and black tea together. So that's generally what I recommend people do. Get a bag of green tea and a bag of black tea and mix it. When you do that, you get all of the anti-cancer components in green tea. Plus, there's a lot of other advantages of the teas in that they inhibit arteriosclerosis rather potently. They strengthen all the connective tissue. They reduce inflammation. They inhibit virus growth. They protect brain cells. So there's a lot of additional benefits you get from the teas that you normally would not get from some of the other things.
Now, of course, you mentioned the oils, and the oils, the corn oil and the safflower oil and all of these things that we have so much of, and you would say these are definitely harmful for us?
Yeah, these have been shown in numerous experiments to significantly promote the growth of cancer and the spread of cancer. In fact, there's one of the experimental models they use for cancer growth, and this animal never develops metastasis. Their cancer never spreads. But if you feed that animal corn oil, the cancer will spread all over their body. We know that this is reproducible with human cancers, for instance, breast cancers and prostate cancers in the presence of corn oil grow faster, become more aggressive. The opposite is true of what we call the omega-3 fatty acid. That's like the fish oils and the algae oils, particularly the component of that fish oil called DHA. The DHA appears to be the major part that's inhibiting cancer, and it is rather powerful. For instance, they did a study on women, and measured the amount of DHA in their breast tissue. And they found those that had the highest amount of DHA in their breast tissue had a 69% lower risk of developing breast cancer. So that's rather profound. They found the same thing in men. Men who had the greatest consumption of DHA had the, by far the lowest incidence of prostate cancer. And now we know why, is because DHA suppresses angiogenesis, which is a process cancer cells need to grow. And it does so very powerfully. It's also an anti-inflammatory. It reduces the inflammation. It makes cancer cells more sensitive to immune attack. So there's many ways in which the DHA is acting to inhibit cancer. We also know it inhibits an enzyme called the COX-2 enzyme, which is important in brain tumors, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, and colon cancer. When you suppress the COX-2 enzyme, those cancers tend to shrink. Some of them go away, and it's very preventative so that you don't develop it in the first place.
Well, now, what is DHA? Or what does that stand for?
Docohexaenic acid, which is one of the two oils. There's an EPA component and there's a DHA component.
Okay, and we get that out of fish oil. And what about the fish oil capsules that people will get at the you know, at the health food store? Are these beneficial, do you think?
Well, overall, they're shown to be beneficial, but I tend to tell people just to use the DHA alone.
And can you just get that at the...
You can get pure DHA.
All right, fine.
And you can find it in most health food stores. But what the DHA does, in your body, you have enzymes that will convert a portion of it to the EPA, that portion that you need. The EPA in high concentrations suppress natural killer cells, which you need to fight cancer. So that's why you don't want a lot of the omega-3 as a fish oil.
Okay, somebody called about rooibos tea, R-O-O-I-B-O-S-T. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not familiar with that.
All right. Well, we've got Tony calling from Capitola. Tony, are you there?
Hi, yes. I want to ask you a question about the ingredient called Splenda. It's a sweetener. My wife uses it when she mixes coffee and unsweetened cocoa she buys at the health food store and uses Splenda as a sweetener. What can you tell me about it?
Well, the studies have shown that Splenda produces a 40% shrinkage of the thymus gland in experimental animals. It also causes atrophy of the lymphatic system, which is something you certainly don't want. Both of those produce immune suppression, which would increase your risk of developing cancer. And, of course, if you had cancer and you suppressed your immune system, the cancer is going to grow a lot faster. There's some evidence of spontaneous abortion, and when it was fed to animals, they lose their babies, so... I generally don't recommend using Splenda.
Now, is this what a sugar substitute?
It's a sugar substitute.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty dumb idea. Would you be better off just using sugar?
Well, only if you use it in very small amounts, because sugar in large amounts increases free radical generation rather dramatically, and it also increases insulin secretion and the release of an insulin-like growth factor, which dramatically increases cancer growth.
Well, then what should people take, or should they just not have any sweeteners? What about
Well, you can use things like stevia, and you can use sweetenlow. Sweetenlow is a dextrose and saccharin mixture, so you get a lot less saccharin and you get a little bit of dextrose. So I generally recommend, if you want a sweetener, use either stevia or sweetenlow, something like that.
All right, Tony, does that answer your question?
Sure does. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. I'm probably going to get him in trouble with his wife, but I think we have to tell people the truth, whether they like it or not. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, hey, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and that's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Dr. Blaylock, and his book is Natural Strategies. Is that Natural Strategies for Cancer or what?
For cancer patients.
For cancer patients. So that's natural strategies for cancer patients. And as I say, we've got a case of these coming on board, and we'll have them here. If you've already ordered it, please be patient. Oh, we're doing the best we can, but sometimes when you're dealing with book publishers, it's a little difficult. Well, let's see who we have here. We have Harry, and Harry is calling us from Michigan. Hi, Harry. What part of Michigan are you in?
Clinton Township, about 25 miles north of Detroit.
Okay, fine. Question or comment?
Well, first of all, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
God bless you, and I hope you do as well. Yes, we're really looking forward to it.
Great. A question I have, and that is regarding fruits and vegetables, okay? In particular, the seeds from, let's say, like apples or peaches, do they have, some people say they have no beneficial effect, and yet others say that's a total falsehood, and indeed, seeds do carry a great amount of nutrition.
Well, it's not just the nutrition, it's the other things that they carry that I think are beneficial. How would you respond to that, Russell?
Well, we know things like grapeseed extract. There's very powerful chemicals in grapeseed that's not present in the rest of the grape, which have enormous beneficial effects, not just for cancer, but for reducing arteriosclerosis and strengthening blood vessels, all sorts of benefits, inhibiting virus growth. Now, whether or not apples and peaches and other fruits, seeds, would have similar compounds, unfortunately, just very little research in that area. But I would suspect that since we found such dramatic and beneficial things in grape seeds, we probably would. Now, grapefruit seed also is a very good antibacterial, it's antiviral, antifungal, it'll kill parasites, it's an incredible substance found out of grapefruit seed. So that's two seeds that we've found tremendous benefit out of, so I would suspect that others do as well.
Well, one of the questions I would have is, what about the grapefruit juice you can buy in a container? It's been pasteurized. Does the pasteurization damage it, or does it still have a certain amount of beneficial nutrition?
Well, it'll damage, particularly the vitamins are very heat sensitive. Some of the flavonoids are heat sensitive, and it will destroy them. The danger I find in juices that are packaged is that a lot of them are very high in fluoride. So I tend to avoid orange juice in a carton or a commercial container, as well as grapefruit juice. A lot of them have been found to have very high fluoride levels in it, or higher than I would certainly want to be exposed to.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. Anything else you want to ask, Gary?
If I could just ask real quick, and that is regarding the mercury in the body, and you were talking in your book something about like in the brain barrier.
Right.
You seem to be kind of against taking N-acetyl-L-cysteine?
Well, not against it. The concern with N-acetyl-L-cysteine was that it binds the mercury and has been shown to carry it past the blood-brain barrier into the brain. So rather than excreting it, you're moving it out of your body into your brain. And that was the real concern. Now, the benefits of N-acetyl-L-cysteine in many ways exceeds that possibility. And that's never been proven that once it moves into the brain in the form combined with N-acetyl-L-cysteine is harmful. N-acetyl-L-cysteine increases cellular glutathione, which is one of your most important defenses against very powerful free radicals. So we know that N-acetyl-L-cysteine inhibits cancer growth. It inhibits the toxicity of mercury. It inhibits toxicity of many metals, improves detoxification. There's so many benefits of N-acetyl-L-cysteine, I would not tell people not to take it. The precaution was don't use it in high doses, for instance, like 500, 750 milligrams a day for mercury.
I've stated the last number again.
Excuse me?
He said 500 to 750 milligrams a day.
Right, a day.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Harry. Let's go on to Doug calling from Florida. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
A question or comment?
A question. You mentioned calcium and milk and cancer, and I'm puzzled by that. Is it the calcium or is the fact that it's in the milk?
It's the calcium, because they found in other studies that if you use calcium supplements, you have the same effect. It increased prostate cancer.
And what was the levels that they would say, daily levels?
Well, like 1,000 milligrams to 1,500 milligrams a day definitely increased prostate cancer.
Okay, and all the studies were done with pasteurized milk, not with raw milk, is that correct?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's the calcium content. So if it's in pasteurized or raw or whatever.
Doug, we're going to have to run. Thanks so much. Listen, Mike, you got about 1 minute.
The question, again, with the milk, with the diabetes, is that the dry milk, is that the same as the regular milk?
It's the same. Because it's apparently it's the protein in the milk.
The protein in the milk predisposes to the diabetes. Anything else, Mike?
No, thanks.
Thanks very much. Well, actually, as soon as I asked for questions, why, that board lit up like a Christmas tree. Well, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners today, Russell?
Well, I think what people have to do is you're going to have to start thinking on your own. You cannot trust the medical establishment or the government. They're telling you things that's not beneficial to your health, it's harmful to your health. They're withholding treatments. You need to start reading these things, take the benefit that's out there and utilize it, because these things aren't dangerous. We're not talking about anything that's going to harm you. We're talking about things that benefit you. Yet the government doesn't want you to use it, so you're going to have to start thinking on your own.
Well, unfortunately, we live in a very, very wicked world, and fortunately we have you out there doing all the medical research I don't have time to do. Thanks so very much for being with us,
Thank
Russell.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
And you too. Bye-bye. Give my best to your wife.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this today's program here at Radio Liberty. If you want to get a copy of the book, it's Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. That's Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are under attack today.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention a couple of the other books that Dr. Blaylock has written, and that would be Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and his book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills. And we have both of those books available at Radio Liberty. In fact, if you come to our conference, we'll have those out on display. We also have 2 4-tape sets, and at least in both of those tape sets, why Dr. Blaylock is one of the major presenters. One of them is on excitotoxins, and the other is called Life-Saving Secrets. And we'll have these at the conference, or you can simply order them by calling 1-800-544-8927. But you are responsible for your family's health. And I say this as a physician. I love physicians. They're doing the very best job that they can for you. But I go to the medical meetings, and I have never yet heard a discussion about the things that we talk about here at Radio Liberty. Why? Well, could you imagine what the milk industry would do to prevent information getting out about the harmful effects of milk and cheese? Why, they've got the best ads, they've got the best lobbyists, they've got all sorts of money, and they want you to use their product. And they really don't care any more than the average tobacco company does what the consequences will be. You better find out what's going on and begin protecting your own family. The book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and, of course, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, all three available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because believe me, the American people, our families, our future, are under attack by people who have a different agenda, a different world outlook There really are evil people out there in the world, and it's... Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I have to remind you that we are primarily listener-supported. We sell a few some products, but the thing that really keeps us on the air 5 hours every day on radio and shortwave, on internet and satellite, are the people who loyally, month in and month out, help us and send us whatever they can on a regular basis. That's what we depend on, and we really appreciate so very much those of you who are our supporters. And if you have not yet considered joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why not at least give it some consideration, because you're going to hear things here you will never hear elsewhere. And, of course, we need to expand and get on to more radio stations. We buy time on most of the stations we're on, so we can tell you what needs to be said, not what the people who own the station or what their advertisers want you to hear. And this is the disadvantage that most people on talk radio have. If you want to keep your job, if you want to stay on that radio station, there are certain things you don't talk about. And, well, so far we have not compromised on what we believe, and we tell you exactly what we think. So if you'd like to be part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but mostly why you'll be helping us do what we do, as we reach out across America with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. I will mention that we are having this conference on a Saturday. If you're thinking about coming, you have to register ahead of time. We did get an additional 10 lunches, so that we can take another 10 people. We're planning on over 100 people right now, and that's pretty good for such a terrible weekend. But if you're going to come and hear the great speakers we're going to have, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. All day long from 8:30 in the morning to 5 in the evening. Panel discussion, lunch is served. You'll get a folder with a great deal of written material in it. And our number, 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. We hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can pull down our programs that are archived. You can listen to our programs directly or by linkage 5 hours a day and not get very much accomplished. You can pull down our newsletters and read them and copy them and the other issues that are up on our website. And we encourage you not only to go there yourself, but to tell other people about our programs to help us disseminate the truth that Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw are paid so much not to tell you. So, and then, of course, we hope that many of you will tell your friends about our radio program so they can get started listening to them and begin to learn and understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle that is being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And nothing that is going on really makes any sense unless you understand the spiritual forces that are at work. In fact, that's going to be the subject of one of my talks on Saturday, and I think it will give you the historical overview of how these forces have been at work in society since the beginning of mankind. Not only that, but it's how it can be that all throughout the world today, at least the Western world, people are beginning to turn against Christianity. Nations that have been traditionally Christian are no longer Christian, including the United States. We are living in an anti-Christian nation where even our Christian president will not stand behind Judge Roy Moore, who says the foundation of our law comes from the Ten Commandments in God, and as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the federal government has no right to force him to remove the symbol of America's freedom, the Ten Commandments. And talk about anti-Semitism, this is also the basis of Judaism and their law, their gift to civilization, which was the Ten Commandments. I wonder why nobody's talking about the anti-Semitic influence that is, of course, behind efforts to remove the Ten Commandments. Well, pray for America. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And, of course, we'll be back with you on Friday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.